Let's turn now to the first item on the program, which has to do with the Apple VoiceOver program. I regret to say that the person who is going to talk about this, Eric Seymour, was unable to come because of a personal family matter. He's not pregnant. But his wife is ill, and so he regrets that he wasn't able to come. However, an independent developer for Apple who has worked extensively with the VoiceOver system, including the Braille interface, is here. And so what I'm going to do is let him show us what progress, you know, because it was 3 years ago in this very hotel that we first heard about the VoiceOver system. VoiceOver has the unique distinction of being, you know, everybody seems to be doing this now. Microsoft is offering Narrator with Windows. Apple is offering VoiceOver now with the Mac. And I am told that when Leopard comes out, which is in the very next operating system in the fall, and maybe you won't be able to talk much about that, but our friends in the IBTC have seen it and they know stuff, and I'm told that there will be some very significant improvements. But I wanted you to hear some about the progress that has happened with VoiceOver, let you get a taste of how it has changed since the last time we were here. So here to talk about it, doggone it, Greg
Carney.
I should know this. My wife would be very mad at me. This is Greg Carney, who is an independent developer for Apple, and Carney means a lot to me. It's Spanish for meat, and I should have remembered that. So let's give a hand for Greg Carney.
I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground in 15 minutes. But I have to, Mary Beth James would be on me all like Flint if I didn't say this. I am not an Apple employee. I do not draw a paycheck from Apple. Okay? I cannot speak officially for Apple. I speak for myself. My name is Greg Carney. I'm a developer with the Wyoming Medical Center in Casper, Wyoming. We use Macs a great deal, and I've developed several programs which I will very briefly go through. Describing how they interact with VoiceOver. VoiceOver is the Macintosh's built-in screen reader. It comes with every Macintosh, and any modern Macintosh that has the modern current operating system on it, if you go up to the keyboard and you press Command F5, the screen reader will spring to life. If you're on a portable, it's function Command F5 because we don't have a dedicated row of F keys on a portable keyboard. As far as the changes, I believe VoiceOver was first available at the NFB convention in Louisville.
Yes.
And there have been some minor bug improvements to the system since then, and there is a growing understanding from the developer community about what you have to do to make a program completely VoiceOver compatible. And that is the area where probably we have seen the greatest amount of improvement. In this environment, programs have to be converted to be VoiceOver compatible. It's very, very easy. About 5 years ago, Apple sent all of us developers a letter, and the letter said, before they ever announced VoiceOver, they told us, you must follow these rules for future compatibility with the operating system. And they laid out a set of programming rules and requirements. Developers which followed the rules were VoiceOver compliant. Developers which did not aren't. Would you like to know which ones aren't? To this day, Adobe Systems still is not. I have been on a tear with Adobe about this. I'm a daily user of VoiceOver, and I have 100% visual acuity. I'm a dyslexic. There are all kinds of people who use VoiceOver who aren't blind. And it's a ridiculous notion. The first response I got from Adobe was, well, blind people will never use Photoshop. And I said, say what? Blind people, maybe they want to caption a picture. Maybe they want to convert a picture from color to black and white. Maybe they want to rotate that picture 90 degrees. There's all kinds of applications in which totally blind people might be needing to use Photoshop. But if they won't change their programming interfaces, it won't be VoiceOver compatible. Microsoft is another one, although I have recently heard rumors that the next version of Microsoft Office will be voiceover compatible. I can't speak to that for sure. But many other programs are, and it is theoretically possible to change an existing program without the source code and make it voiceover compatible. And I've done that with Skype. And I have a little patch file for Skype that you can run on Skype and turn it into a voiceover compatible Skype. And I've been in touch with Skype, and they're going to try to introduce the changes that I made, that I suggested. So if you have a program that you're having an issue with, the thing to do is to contact the developer of that program, because that's fundamentally how the system works. The other thing that's important to remember about VoiceOver is that it does not take over the entire operation of the computer the way JAWS and WindowEyes do to some degree. You still need to learn the Macintosh way. I had someone ask me, well, why isn't there a VoiceOver command to close a window? And I said, there shouldn't be a VoiceOver command to close a window. There already is a keyboard command to do that. So you need to learn there needs to be learning of the basic fundamental operations of the operating system. The command W closes windows, command C cuts, command X, you know, command X cuts, command C copies, that sort of thing. Now on to some shameless self-promotion. One of the things I've been doing is I have been testing connecting Braille note-taking devices to the Macintosh. And I'm happy to report that all of the ones that exist with Windows, the Windows Pocket PC or mobile, whatever they call it this week, you know, Microsoft likes to have about a dozen different names for the same product. All of those are now compatible with the Macintosh operating system, some to a better degree than others, but all of them will work with a program called Missing Sync from Markspace Software. Missing Sync is fully voiceover compatible. They've been very careful, and I worked with them in making it so. And so any of them that have like a USB, you know, some of the older note takers didn't have USB, but you know the modern note takers that work under that platform will all sync with Missing Sync. They'll put their mail into Mail. They'll put the calendars into the iCal program. They'll put all the stuff in the right places essentially. Another update is that now iTunes is for the most part accessible. We're still having a little trouble with the store, and that is being addressed. But as far as moving around in iTunes, purchasing, you can search for music, you can purchase music. iTunes had not been accessible for quite a spell and was causing a great deal of agitation. But as of iTunes version 7.2, it's now voiceover accessible.
Referring to Windows version or Mac version?
Mac version.
You're talking Mac
version. I'm not talking about Windows
version.
I don't do Windows.
Yeah, I got you.
And now, to go on, I'm going to give you a URL here. So those of you who are taking notes and URLs, but you'll get a recording of this as well. I've done a number of programs to try to move this thing along. And one of them is Lewis. It's a free Macintosh-based Braille translator. It competes. It is essentially a competitor with Duxbury, except that it doesn't really compete because we don't charge for it. We do not charge for it. I work for a hospital. I do not work for a software company. We are not a software company. We don't want to be a software company. We don't want to have to man phones and answer questions. So we give it away. If you write me, you know, if you write, email me, contact me by phone and have questions, I'll try to answer them. But we're not going to guarantee the level of support that, you know, you didn't spend $500 buying it, you know. it's a free translator, and we'll run it now. And I will give you this URL. It's W3, the number, the letter W, the number 3, dot, WMCnet.org. On that page, there's links to Braille software for Macintosh and our digital talking book production system, DTB Maker for Macintosh. So,
ISMAC.
Oh, I don't have it on the dock. Okay.
Finder, Apple Grease, Dadit, Macintosh, Open Find, iMacintosh, Icon, Sidebar, List. and drag out of the inventory items 69 in outline splitter sidebar list, and drag to inside folder row in applications. Row 48, Lewis, selected application. Row 48.
Here's Lewis.
Selected application, June 25, 2007, 4:41 p.m. Application, scroll area, Lewis window, documents, selected tab 1 of 4.
Okay, Lewis has a set of tabs you go across, and the first thing you do in Lewis is you ask it, what file do you want to translate? We translate, this program will translate Word, WordPerfect, HTML, NIMUS, DAISY, text, NewsML, a news format used in the news industry, and it can learn new formats. You don't have to wait for me to come out with an update to the system to teach it a new format. Any XML format can be taught. It can be taught how to do a new XML format. It'll do DocBook. We keep adding them as we find them. And so what we do is we go down and we choose a file.
Choose file to translate dialog. Go back. Input splitter file outline. Interact with file and test.
I have this little RTF file that's a test. It's just a little tiny RTF file, standard rich text format file.
Lewis window, 19 items, documents.
And then we save the. I'm gonna
save Braille file as. Dialogue.
We save the Braille file as.
Save 13 Windows at BRILLE. Blank dialog. 5 items. My Braille.brl already exists.
Yeah, you can replace it.
Selected tab 1.
We have a series of tabs across here. There's one for cells and lines. How many cells? How many lines? Is it inner point? Do you want it hyphenated? There's a numbering tab for where you want the page numbers to be. Braille page numbers get separate from regular page numbers. We'll go over to processing.
Processing. Select tab 4.
And what we've done is we've created a configuration file called Lewis config. It allows you to save configuration files and load new ones. You can send the Braille output to any serial or Bluetooth Braille embosser. A serial embosser requires that you have like a little USB to serial thing. I suggest the Keyspan one because we know it works. And we'll flip down through here. We're going to open this. We're going to, rather than having a built-in text editor like Duxbury, we just use the text editors inside Macintosh.
Select run translation.
And we run translation.
Translation button. Text edit my braille.brl window edit text.
And there it is.
4-point braille. Fiscal X00ED/V/
Yeah, and it's going to try to read. It's going to try to read Braille. but it displays the output for sighted users. It displays the output in proper size Braille font. The Braille font is a free open source font that is included. I wrote for that. It has a widget utility for sign makers for doing phrase based translation. It has a contextual menu which allows you to select any piece of text out of any COCA-compliant application on the Macintosh, bring down the contextual menu, choose Braille, and you'll get a window with the Braille translation in it ready to, you know, paste into whatever you wanted to paste it into. And so that's Lewis. That's on that website. Follow the Braille link. Lewis is free. Has been released for about two months now. If you have problems, email me. It has full documentation online and as an accessible PDF file. And it can do, as I say, it can be taught new XML formats. So you can make up your own XML format and then pass it through and teach it that, and there are instructions for doing that. So that's Lewis.
Lewis window.
The other thing we have is we have digital DAISY digital talking book production software.
Finder Macintosh HD. Select.
This is DTB Maker. DTB Maker can be used to produce DAISY digital talking books, either from text files, from HTML. It will convert Bookshare things from the current text-only format to full-text, full-audio DAISY digital talking books that you can run in your portable players that don't do text-to-speech. We can handle pictures. We can and we will self-detect the captions of pictures, and including IPTC photo captions from a news agency. So even if the picture, even if there isn't an alt tag attached with the picture, we self-detect the captions that are in the pictures, if possible. And if all else fails, we tell you it's a picture and it's this big. And I have a number of samples of books that were made here, and I'm going to do this very, very, very quickly. I converted the NFB's 2007 agenda to DAISY format, and here it is. Oh, I also did, just in the name of full disclosure, I did the ACB's national agenda, too.
We'll try to.
Welcome to Victor Reader.
So here's Victor Reader. Let me plug Victor Reader in here. And I'll be happy to answer some questions here, and then I will be out in the hall if you have, if anybody has other.
Grab it, yeah.
Maybe. Of course he was going to run.
It's not in the right jet.
He had gotten up early every day all summer to run. He figured if he worked at it, and Lord, I hope he worked, he could be the fastest runner in the fifth grade when school opened.
This is a bridge to Terabithida. And it's kind of an interesting project because we took a commercial CD recording of A Bridge to Terabithida that came on about five CDs, and we reduced it down to less than one by putting it into DAISY format. And at the same time, we gave it navigational abilities.
Time jump, 1 minute, phrase, group, level. Time jump, 1 minute, level, one. Not one of the fastest. Chapter 2. Chapter 3. Chapter 4.
So we were able to give it navigational abilities that the regular commercial recording did not have. Now you can do other, this is capable of doing some other things as well. If you mark up your text right, you can get navigation in all sorts of interesting ways, like the NFB agenda, which is navigated by the day and then the agenda item.
So, now that's awesome.
And then in the case of the general sessions, it's navigable by go to a general session and then go down the agenda items inside the general session. Let's see what
2 a.m. demystifying chemistry NOPBC level 2 workshop for kids and parents.
So now we'll go through the agenda items.
6:30 to 9 p.m. National Association, 7 to 9 p.m. Pac-Man Committee, Room L 501, 8 to 9:30 p.m. NOPBC Team Talks, Room A 702, Patriot Level.
And then we can go up a level.
Boys, time jump, 1 minute, level 114.
And we can go to days.
Moderator, Sunday, July 1st, Monday, July 2nd, 2007, Tuesday, July 3rd, 2007.
So you can navigate around inside the agenda using DAISY to go to a particular day.
Eject.
We've done some very complicated books. We've done the entire Bible, navigable to the verse. We've done we did the Bible, the Old and New Testament of the Bible, the Apocrypha. We did the Mormon Scriptures, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, and we did the Quran.
These are all for your patients, right?
Well, they were for the patients, but you know, we're a public hospital. We have to make sure we cover all the bases. That pretty well covers it. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions. Understand, I'm under non-disclosure with Apple. There are things I cannot talk about. There is one nice thing, though, that I can talk about. Some computer voices, in order to release them to the public, require licenses to do that. iVox voices in particular are controlled by very restrictive licenses. Apple has agreed that in the case of production of anything for the blind and physically disabled, any Apple voice may be used without license, including the new Alex voice coming out with Leopard. So if with that, I've covered as much as I dare cover. But if you ask me questions, I will tell you. I'll either answer them or say, I can't tell you that.
All right, we have a little time here for questions. So what I'd like you to do is say your name, and I may have to repeat because other people who are listening may not hear you on the mic from up here. So any questions for Greg? Scott Edwards wants to know about refreshable Braille on the Mac. You've done work with that.
I've done with that. Some. Yeah, let me get that. All the equipment out of the way. I've done some work with this. Apple has announced that Leopard will support that. I would urge you to go down and see the ALVA displays, the ALVA Braille displays. They actually know more about this than even I do, and they seem far more willing to talk about it than I I feel comfortable doing so. But it has been publicly announced that Leopard will support it, and the ALVA displays I know are on the list to be supported. I suggest you go down there and talk to them because they seem to be real loose-lipped about it more so than I can be.
Who's that? Jason?
Jason,
yes. Go ahead.
When are they saying this week that Apple will be releasing Leopard? Are they giving a date yet?
Yes, it'll be in October of this year.
Okay.
Lisa Mann?
Lisa?
Yes. I'm wondering, it sounds like Apple is a very compatible system with a lot of things. Is it true that they're more easier to use than other brands as far as
That's a question that you're not in a position to answer.
Well, hey, I mean, Apple always likes to think we are, right? No, I'm not. I really am not in a position to answer that. If you've been using a Windows machine a long time, Apple's can be very frustrating to switch over to, because any kind of change like that is going to be frustrating, okay? Because if you're very, very acquainted with a particular system, to suddenly be confronted with a new one, if you've never used a computer before, or if you're relatively new to computers and you're going to be learning from scratch, I would say that, you know, Apple is as easy or as difficult as learning JAWS or WindowEyes. I think it's a better architectural approach, but there are, you know, there are going to be learning issues no matter what you choose. I mean, let's just be realistic.
Could you give your contact information?
I will give you my contact information. Understand that I'm not an Apple employee. I'm just a programmer.
Ann Taylor.
Two things. Number one is regarding iTunes accessibility. But please to know that Apple's working on that. I would say it is 80% accessible. If you want to buy songs only, you can do it. If you want to buy whole album at a time, you are not able to do that at this time. Apple also have pretty decent training tutorial on for the Mac that will help you get started. Also, we have installed the VoiceOver packet, and the latest one looks very promising. And it is very possible if you have a Mac, you purchase a Mac and you bring it home, you have an option to turn the speech on and you will be able to configure your Mac from the very get-go. Now, it will take a little bit of patience to get used to some new concept, and especially if you have a laptop, you're going to have three hands to do the business.
Yeah. I would suggest that people who have laptops, I can't tell you why, because they won't let me tell you why, but I would suggest that you either buy an Apple keyboard, and I always recommend people buy Apple keyboards because the names of the keys are consistent in their documentation, or an extended one of those little extended keypad, numeric keypad things. I can't tell you why, but if you have a portable, you ought to go and procure one of those things.
Okay.
You got a question over here with a raise.
Who raised their hand?
Brandon Mish.
Brandon.
Well, I know you guys have voiceover and all that, but what voices and or synthesizers are available to use with that system?
Okay. Apple ships.
I want to repeat his question.
Okay, he's asking what voices or synthesizers. We have voices. We don't have necessarily synthesizers. We have Apple ships with a wide range of English voices. And including, they have an Alex voice, and it's on their website. You can go and hear. They've written a special voice just for, voiceover use. And what it does is it does not degrade as you speed it up. Its quality stays the same. Very, very high quality voice. There are a whole range. There are some ridiculous voices in here that you would never use. You know, things that sound like pipe organs and, calliopes and stuff. But there's a wide range of males and female voices. Also, any voice that installs with Macintosh, and that includes the iVox voices from Assistiveware, and Kepstrel's voices. And Kepstrel is the one that I do a lot of the talking book production with. Those will also install, and those can also be used.
Now, here, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Last March, I had a little discussion with Mary Jane and with Mike Shibanek, and I said one of the things that frustrates people who are not Mac users, and you're not an Apple employee, so you can
duck
ignore
this one.
Yeah, you can duck this one or pass it on, which I'd like you to pass it on, maybe. But I said one of the things that frustrates people who are not Mac users is this. The iPod revolution is on us. iPods are everywhere. There's iPod stuff, and some of them, like the iPod Nano and the iPod Shuffle, you'd like to think that a blind person could use those because, after all, they don't have a visual display. Yet, there's the software, the iTunes software, not the Mac version, but the Windows version. And I said to Mike, now, the problem with iTunes on Windows is it really is horrible from a blind person's point of view.
Horrible from a sighted person's point of
view. Well, yeah, but it's more horrible from a blind person's point of view. And I said, now, why is that? This is an interesting question. A response that I got was, it's really not our fault. We went to the screen reader vendors and we said to them that they had to do something so that iTunes would work, and none of them have responded. And I said, I don't think that's accurate. I think that certain applications, even though they weren't written for the blind, tend to behave moderately well with screen access technology for the blind in Windows, right? We know this to be true. And so it comes as rather a surprise to those of us in the user community who hear about Apple's commitment to accessibility, who hear about VoiceOver, and then we try to use iTunes. And although I am told now the latest version is a little better, Ann Taylor back there, do you know this for a fact? She went away.
I will know soon.
Right. Well, we're told that the iTunes version for Windows now, we're not talking about the Mac version, is supposed to be better. And frankly, if the blind are to be part of the iPod revolution, which we would like to be, we would like iTunes to be accessible without having the screen reader vendors to have to do a whole lot of work to make this happen.
Okay.
Now, the other thing, of course, is we would like Apple to try not to design devices that are so outrageously not usable by the blind that we feel no desire to have them.
iPhone.
They're like the iPhone.
I'll talk about the iPhone here.
And Rockbox, I know some people have gotten excited about, but it's basically replacing the firmware. So you want to talk about iPhone for? Are you allowed to talk?
I talk about iPhones.
Right, well,
I never signed a non-disclosure on that.
Give me take a minute, and then we're going to move on. But here,
I agree with you 100%. I don't even know how the iPhone got approved by the FCC. the way it was built. Because if there was a fire and the only phone in here was an iPhone and a blind person picked it up, how the hell would they dial 911? But to speak to you a little bit about the iPhone, and as I say, I agree with you. There is a website, www.apple.com/iPhone/accessibility, that kind of goes through the accessibility. There is also a place where you can write and complain. And actually, really, people really do read this. Accessibility@apple.com.
That's an email address?
And okay. Complain to them, and I know people read it because I've communicated through it on some other things. And people really do, it isn't like, the black hole where things just go and never appear from again. As far as the iPhone, I have made a suggestion that because the iPhone has a multi-touch screen, it should be possible to produce, and wait for it, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I've actually experimented a little bit with it, a Braille interface in which you would turn the phone to the horizontal position. Essentially, there are three. The phone screen would be divided into three strike areas. There would be a left hand, a right hand, and a spaceband strike area. This is my suggestion. I'm not saying Apple's going to do this. They may never do this. They may think Greg Carney's smoking crack. Okay? but essentially, you would, for instance, if you wanted to call somebody, you could type in call John Smith. And then you would double tap the space bar, and that would be the thing to tell it to activate that command, and off it would go, and it would call, look through the phone book and call John Smith. There have been several other suggestions. We don't know if VoiceOver is inside that system or not, and this is a whole ton of questions about it. As far as iPods, don't get me started. If you can make that thing play television, you can make that thing talk when you roll over the menus. Okay? So this is what I've been saying, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll say it to Apple, and nag them to death. I have a daughter, 24-year-old daughter. She's got an iPod. You know that despite what Dad's telling her, she's using that iPod while she's driving the car. You know she's doing that. This is a safety issue that has nothing to do with blind people.
Okay,
and we just need voice. We need voice menus, and we have one question here, and then I'm going to go.
Who wants the floor?
It's Mike Calvo.
Mike?
It's more of a statement. I applaud what you're doing as an Apple developer. I just don't see where you get the incentive, considering the fact that it's apparent that Apple's position is to do as we say, not as we do. Frankly, they're not using universal accessibility anywhere in the design or any. If anything, what you're suggesting is yet another bolt-on solution, which is going to kind of be half-baked to begin with. I appreciate the fact that you're trying to do your best, but it just goes to show me, as a blind consumer, Apple's lack of consideration, yet they make you feel like a total scum if you don't develop your applications. I mean, I've read their accessibility document. And they come short of calling you a sellout to the blind community if you don't, and a bad member of society, yet they don't follow their same initiatives.
Ann Taylor.
And then you're it.
Yeah, a couple of things. I think Apple has not taken into consideration the non-visual way of doing things for a blind computer user. For example,
you say this after they gave you beta copy.
The current operating system, and as far as I know, in the next one, there is no easy HTML structure navigation.
Okay? No, that's been fixed. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, that was non-disclosure.
None of you heard that.
The fix I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's really troublesome. And you have a whole, I will continue to have dialogue with Apple and representing NFPs in doing this, and hopefully some of this problem will be solved. But so far, I'm concerned that Apple did not put enough time and research into the effective way. As blind people using the computer to navigate web pages, or for that matter, any other application.
Here's what I want you to do, Greg. I want you to say when you talk to Apple that the message you're getting from the audience here at the meeting, because I'm very happy that you pinch hit it for Apple. And, you know, you've done really well. Let's give a big hand for Greg. But we're not done yet. You can be a messenger for us by saying to them that while we were happy at some of the things that Apple is doing, you know, we're glad they're putting out VoiceOver, and we're glad that they're making, you know, some move toward better accessibility, and I'm glad that you personally are involved in helping to make the thing better, that there is a certain amount of frustration in the community about how Apple is, you know, the priority to which Apple is giving the accessibility issue. There's a perception in the community, rightly or wrongly, that there's not enough priority being given, that Apple fundamentally does not really understand how blind people interact with stuff, and certainly on the part of the Windows users, there is frustration because we still are wanting them to work to make the iTunes software work better, and we want the iTunes to work even better. I mean, you would think that Apple with the Mac would make the iTunes software a showcase for accessibility, wouldn't you think that? And they haven't done it. They should do it. And so all I'm asking you to do is not to take the heat for them, but to go back to them and say, I got a lot of heat from these people. You guys better get on the stick and do something.
And believe me, I communicate that every week. And I have said, and I will continue to say, that the problem at Apple with accessibility is fundamentally that there needs to be an Apple accessibility evangelist at Cupertino. He and his staff need to be in on the early stages, and the first things out of their mouths when some project manager comes trotting in with the latest this or that that they're working on is, okay, Mr. Project Manager, sleep shades on, VoiceOver on, show me how you're going to run that thing without being able to see the screen.
There you go. And with that, we're going to end this program. Thank you, Greg.